The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with James Millman, Andy Holding and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's Leicester, Redcar and Worcester on Tuesday afternoon. We also have Perth and Galway in the evening, so a good mixture of both flat and jumps racing. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Now we've got a pretty good week coming up with the stuff at Doncaster, the St Ledger Festival getting underway later on in the week. We also had some pretty good racing to look back at last weekend as well, so we'll start with the Monday jury. And good weekend, Mick, starting with the big race of the weekend. What lessons can we learn from the Haydock Sprint Cup?
I think one of the lessons we can learn is not to take any notice of Haydock's going description.
Yeah,
they called it good,
yeah,
and it was anything but good.
Yeah, it wasn't good, was it? No,
it was slow ground. When a jockey as experienced as Pat Mullen says it was a hell of a lot slower than the official description of good, well, that tells you the story for me. And it did have a big impact on not only just the result, but on tactics as well. Tom Hogan's come out on record as saying if he'd realised it was going to ride as slow as it was, he'd have told Wayne Lawden to sit for longer, but he told him to kick on two out, thinking he was kicking on good ground. He was kicking on slow ground. That was a completely misleading going description for the Sprint Cup.
It was. It was definitely softer than good. With the horses, Mick, I'll throw my two penneth in here to start with. Soul Power is not a 6 furlong horse at all. He's definitely a 5 furlong
horse. That, doesn't he? Not from 7 over 6 furlongs. And the race is running completely different tempos, Mark. At York in the Nunthorpe, the 5 furlong horses, they blasted off a million miles an hour, fell in a hole, and he just cruised past them. 6 furlong horses, you've got proven milers like Gordon Lord Byron. They're not stopping at the end of 6.
Yeah.
They're still galloping to line, and the Group 1 horses. So Power can't do to them over 6 what he does to the 5 furlong horses over 5.
No.
And that's the difference.
It is, yeah. It's a completely different tempo. His turn of foot over 5 is breathtaking, but try and do that over 6 after having to sit that bit longer.
They're not stopping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What did you make of the winner, Mick?
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. And it's what a great buy by Midland Park, wasn't he? And back to. I don't know whether they'll come back. There's talk about the Abbey, but. And he did look as though he was slightly unlucky not to finish closer in the Nunthorpe.
Yeah.
But I would think he's probably going to be next year one of the best 6 furlong horses around, so I think I wouldn't mess him around. I'd keep him to 6, I think. But that's up to them, isn't it? But, you know, the race was a bit marred by that, but having said all that, great for David O'Mara and Danny Tudup to have their first Group 1 winner with G-Force. And, brilliant stuff. And that horse is in training sale at Tats. I got a lot of good horses out of that for not big money either. 25 grand he was picked up for. Just shows you, if you drop lucky, you can get some good horses out of those sales.
It proved to be the case. And from what I'm reading this week, the Abbey, we're probably going to see Soul Power and G-Force renew rivalry there. I mean, Soul Power over 5 would be good against G-Force, see what happens. But I suppose the ground's going to be a bit of an issue for Soul Power as well, isn't it?
Well, he wouldn't want it soft, would he?
Yeah.
His record tells us what he wants. He wants a flat 5 on good ground, doesn't he? Or faster.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll have to wait and see what the Paris weather does in the first week of October. But, I think we'll have plenty of time to worry about that nearer the time, won't we?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Let's move on then. Do you envisage Captain Cat making a successful leap to Group 1 company?
Well, he's in the right hands, isn't he?
Yeah.
He was very impressive the other day. Unlucky at Goodwood the previous time, when they just sort of nipped away from them, didn't he? And he certainly wouldn't be out of place in Group 1 company. I think he just might have to take another step forward to win in Group 1 company. It's not a weak division, is it, the milers in Group 1 level? And you know, he's certainly worth his place in one, he might just have to improve a good deal yet. But he's in the right hands to do it.
Yeah. Moving on to the arc next. This is the third question. What's your take on the arc picture after See the Moon's eclipse? Well, the betting's changed anyway. See the Moon out to 8-1 for the arc. Trave, the 9-2 market leader. 5-1 for Australia. 6-1 for Togruta. Just away is Sevens. Avenir Certain is 8-1 with See the Moon. Harpstar is 10s. Tapestry is also 10s. And then 12-1 or bigger price as the rest.
It was an unsatisfactory race, wasn't it? And, you know, the fact that he had to make his own running, you could see that Stumion had been in De Mora's ear telling him not to give the horse hard race, and those fractions that were abysmal for a Group 1 race, and I'm not surprised with the tactics he got beat, but he didn't look the same horse that we've seen earlier in the season. Now maybe that break, he's just gone a bit rusty, maybe that will perk him up, but I think his arc prospects took a bit of a step backwards, and I think I'm going to concentrate on the three-year-old fillies and keep it simple, Mark, because they're the way forward for me. We've got the likes of Tapestry, if she goes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's got all the credentials. She'll have no problem with the trip on pedigree, as we know. And, with the performance in the Yorkshire Oaks, showed that she outstayed Togruta, didn't she, in the Yorkshire Oaks. Avenir Certain just never stopped improving in France all year. This is going to be a first try at a mile and a half, and in the deep end, mile and a half. But a style of racing suggests she might get it, even though it isn't a gimme on pedigree. Harpstar, the Japanese filly, beaten on her only try at a mile and a half in Japan. But it was a narrow defeat in the Japanese Oaks. And she didn't get beaten for a lack of stamina, I didn't think. And I think She's a live contender. Harpstar won the Japanese Guineas, has been kept fresh. I think this is only about a fourth start of the season, Mark. You know, they've learned their lesson, the Japanese, that if they're going to come to the arc, they can't come to it as an afterthought. And Harpstar, for me, is a big player. The other Japanese horse, the Dubai Duty Free winner, Just Away, has been freshened up since June. He's only had the one start since Dubai. And again, they've done the right thing with him, keeping him fresh for the arc. And on that Dubai Duty Free win, he got an official BHA rating of 1.23, which puts him right in the middle, in the mix, doesn't it? And not to be underestimated, but I'm more and more inclined. And I've mentioned Trev, who we're going to see have a she'll probably cakewalk her trial in Longchamp. And then we'll all be getting excited about her chances, won't we? So, still a fair bit of water to flow under the bridge, Mark, before I make my mind up about the arc.
Yes.
Okay. And then there's the draw as well.
Massive, isn't it, the draw in the arc? So,
yeah.
Still keep your powder dry for now, then, Mick.
I must admit, I took some silly prices about the Japanese pair earlier on, anti-post for little damage at big prices. So, you know, whatever happens, I've got those in the book, and I'm quite happy with them as it stands. But I'll be playing more on the day, but not till after I've seen the draw.
Yeah, that's fair enough. The next question, what else caught your eye over the weekend, Mick?
Well, I was delighted to see my old friend Nadir win at York yesterday. I really liked this horse. He was second in the sprint trophy at York, that very competitive three-year-old handicap at the midsummer meeting. And I put him down in my tracker as a potential group horse. He's went into Patton Company after that, got his well-deserved listed race win yesterday. And he's still a baby. He'll be a smashing horse next year. I think of all the good horses who ran over the weekend, I was delighted to see him get his head in front. So, Nadir, for me. And Epsom Hill, I thought he was a three-year-old stayer to keep an eye on. Ran a great race against his elders at Haydock. And there's a big race waiting for him somewhere down the line.
Okay, let's turn our attention to next weekend then, looking ahead to Saturday. Who do you fancy to win the St. Ledger? Got betting on site. Kingston Hill, the 5-2 favourite. Snow Sky is 5-1, 7-1 for Romsdal. Windshear is 8-1, 12s for Hartnell. Alex Maboy and Forever Now both 14-1, and then 16s or bigger prices the rest.
Yeah, a little bird told me that Joe Fanny is going to ride Hartnell rather than Alex My Boy. Right. Disappointed last time, didn't he, Hartnell? Alex My Boy, I think he came home a bit sore from Goodwood. But he's got a pedigree for the race. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a hard decision for them, for which Joe rides. And although I think Hartnell's a smashing horse, I just wonder if he left his St. Ledger in that busy midsummer period. It certainly looked like it last time. I wouldn't rule out Alex My Boy, if he's over these his Goodwood exertions, he could be a player. The two with the, Snow Sky was second to postpone in the Great Voltigeur, which is usually a very good trial for the Ledger after winning the Gordon. But this trip on pedigree is not a gimme by any means, is it? Mm-hmm. I'd be very worried about that. And the one for me is Windshear, who was a staying on second in the Gordon Stakes and the Bahrain Stakes at Newmarket. He's been a rapid improver all through 2014. He started 2014 with a mark of 80 and he's now rated 103. And his pedigree just screams out stamina. Mm-hmm. He's out of a Hernando mare.
Yeah.
And I think this trip's ideal for him, a mile and six. And at around 8-1, 9-1, I think Windshear. And I think they've had their eye on this quietly without shouting from the rooftops that he's their Ledger horse. I think they've had their eye on this race for some time and just kept it under, low key, under wraps. And Windshear, I think, for me, would be the one at the prices. I'm not ruling out Kingston Hill by any means, but, you know, his chance is there and is there for all to see, and the price is hardly tempting. Yeah. So Windshear would be my selection at this moment.
Okay, Windshear then in the St. Ledger. And the final question of this week's Monday Jory: what's your each way advice against the 1-3 shot Australia in the Irish Champion?
I think if Aidan ties Kingfisher's tail to Australia, he'll drag him around and then he can stay with him and probably stay on for a place. He's a good horse in his own right, Kingfisher. Mm. He's just there as a, I know he's there as a, not so much as a pacemaker, he's there as a bodyguard, if you like, or whatever. But he's a good horse in his own right, Kingfisher. You wouldn't be surprised me if it was a Ballydoyle 1-2 there.
Okay.
But, good. You know, there's going to be, Muckadram looked to me as though he'd gone over the top at York. He was keen, he was sweaty, that's not like him at all.
Yeah, he didn't look himself.
He hadn't got much time to bring him back. And, you know, that King George was a brutal race. The first three have all been beaten next time in that. And the fourth, Eagle Top, he's taken an awful long time to get back to anything like. He hasn't run yet, but they're making the right noises about him. But brutal race, the King George. Noble Mission's form was let down in Germany yesterday, his last run in Germany. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Kingfisher was the each-way angle there in that Irish Champion.
OK, and then O'Brien 1-2 then, potentially, in the Irish Champion.
Yeah.
That's the Monday Jury then for another week, and we'll move on to Tuesday's racing next. Mick's picked out three races for us at Redcar, and we'll get his thoughts in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday and Redcar as well. We'll go. The first race that Mick's picked out is the 2:30, and we start here with a Class 5 nursery over 7 furlongs. It's for the 2-year-olds, of course. And where do you want to start here, Mick? I mean, Dragon King only had the one start, stepping into Handicap Company for the first time. I suppose he'll be of interest at the top of the works.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know whether the, I don't think the mark's a gimme, to be honest. 75 hasn't been seen for 102 days. Although, you know, that's not the problem. But you just wonder where he's been. And he did win that 8-runner maiden on soft ground. I think he was the only one who handled the conditions. And he's not going to get soft ground at Redcar on Tuesday. So I think there's too many question marks over him.
Okay.
Moota for Edge. Hard to weigh up Moota for Edge. Mark Johnson trains. Dane O'Neill rides for Hamdan. Two of his four runs have been stinkers, but including the last one. That was appalling at Catterick. But on his standout Goodwood 6 of 13 behind Misleading, he was only beaten 2 3/4 lengths. He would have leading claims off 74, but he is one for the brave, that Mark. Charlotte's Secret, she improved for a Polytrack and Handicap debut to finish second at Wolverhampton, but the winner's been well beaten since, so the form's probably worthless. Which sort of leaves me, by default, with Saltarello, who is trained by John Quinn, filmmaking, doing the steering. As I said, been quite progressive, this horse, since handicapping. Probably worth another try at 7. He did try it earlier in his maidens. Slight concern that his best form is with soft in the going description, as in good to soft. But even so, this is a race that will probably take little winning, and Saltarello's going to get the vote. The other one I want to mention is Fazenda's Girl. Jimmy Sullivan rides for McEastaby. Not really progressing, but not a bad effort at Beverley last time on her handicap debut behind Abbey Angel. And the visor replacing the blinkers, she might be the one for each way bets, but she does look as though she's getting a bit of consistency together, but it's very weak. Alex Dunn should be doing this. He's Mr. Red Car. So this is my paltry effort, but Saltarello, but it's by default, Mark, not by any degree of confidence.
Okay, Saltarello then, the selection in the 2.30 at Red Car. Moving on to the 3.30 next. This is a Class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and this is pretty wide open. It's going to be at least 5 to on the field, I imagine. For
You would hope so, wouldn't you? Yeah, we'll go through the shortlist in race card order. Richard Gain, trained by James Bethel, is going to be ridden by Tony Hamilton. Tony up on him for the first time. He's held his form well since winning at Haydock in July and deserves a change of luck. Things haven't quite gone his way since then, and probably one of those horses that does need races to pan out for him. They've dispensed with the headgear, which I don't think is a bad move for Rich again, and he's certainly got a chance from a handicapping point of view. And James Bethel's horses are in good order. They look well and they're running well. Exotic Guest, Jimmy Sullivan riding for Ruth Carr. Beaten favourites, well, it's been well backed, either being favourite or joint favourite the last four times since winning at Newcastle in June. Has his winning rider back on board after running OK under the apprentice Rowan Scott last time. So it comes into the mix, definitely Exotic Guest. But the one I'm going to go with is He's My Boy. James Fanshawe trains. Hayley Turner rides this three-year-old. He's just taken a giant leap forward since they fitted the visor four outings ago. Off the mark at Newmarket in a 6 furlong handicap on similar ground last month. Stepped him up to 7 on the Polytrack at Kempton. Ran well, just didn't want the extra furlong. That's what beat him. I think he's got a huge chance here off 66. Quite a confident selection in the 3.30. He's My Boy.
Okay, He's My Boy there then. And on to the final race. We're going to look at the 4 o'clock at Red Car. This is a straight mile championship qualifier, handicap over a mile, and it's for 3-year-olds and older. And a similar story here, Mick. It's going to be another open race.
It is, and it's just quite a valuable race as well, isn't it, this? And, you know, they've got a good competitive turnout. The weights are headed by Anderiego. I saw win at York 3 outings ago. Took advantage of the handicapper letting him go a little bit. But having said that, he did run really well behind Caraca Jack over this course and distance last time, off of his new mark for winning at York. And he's got a chance to run again off of this mark, so he's not out of it despite 9 stone 10. Night Owl, another James Fanshawe runner, Dane O'Neill on board. Better than the result would suggest at Leicester. He ran out of room more than once close home, at crucial stages when he was just launching his challenge. forget the last run, lost it at the start from a poor draw at Chester before that. And judging better on his Nottingham and Newbury runs, the two runs preceding Chester and Leicester, and he's got a big chance. Alma Heat, trained by Brian Ellison, Dale Swift taking the ride. Brian looks to be coaxing him back to something like he won at Newmarket for Sir Michael Stout on his debut last back end. Looked as though it was taking a while for the penny to drop, but much better last time with the hood on, and a good third of 14 in a York Apprentice last time. And if he can build on that, he's definitely not out of this off a mark of 85. Big Storm coming, another Ruth Carr runner. Ruth's got plenty of chances on the red car card. Jimmy Sullivan, as usual, on board for Ruth. Only his eighth start, this horse, so he's been a late burner. Big Storm coming, despite the fact that he's 4 years old, and he's very consistent. Only one disappointing run in his seven race career. A career best is required, but that isn't impossible. Creditable fourth of 12 at Beverley last time, and another one with a chance in an open race. But I'm just going to give the vote to Express Himself, a son of Dylan Thomas, trained by Ed McMahon. Stephen Drown taking the ride. He's having only his eighth start. He's got cheap pieces on for the first time. And he's off the same mark as when he finished a close fourth at Leicester behind Mavericks last time. And if those cheap pieces can just eke out that little bit more, I think he could well visit the winner's enclosure in a wide open 4 o'clock. But he did look to be going forward, this horse, and those pieces might just help.
Yeah, and the form of that last race as well, Postscript has come out and won since, yeah, so might not be too bad for him.
Exactly, yeah, it's not. It doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, plenty of runners at Red Car. It's not going to be easy, but we'll have a go. 2:30 Red Car, Saltarella for filmmaking, and John Quinn, filmmaking being amongst the winners of late, and John Quinn's horses continue to run and look well. In the 3:30, James Fanshawe sent a couple up to Red Car. This is the first of them. He's my boy, Haley Turner, riding, and back in trip is going to suit him after finding seven too far at Kempton last time. And in the very competitive at 4 o'clock, Express Himself's last run's working out, and I'm just hoping the first time cheap pieces can help him get his head in front.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
I will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with James Mimlin, Andy Holding and Rory DeLaghi in the studio. It's Leicester, Redcar and Worcester on Tuesday afternoon. Perth and Galway in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.